Next man up, Nick Frazier, 102.5 The Game, alongside Parker Kelly, Brandon Bigsby. It's time, Parker. Finally, we can get to the college football playoff top 12. Our first four out as well. I'm so excited. Obviously, Heather Dinch has already put out her top 12. And again, yesterday I was a little bit, you know, raising my eyebrow at two Big 12 teams in the top 12. That blew my mind a little bit, but we're going to get into it here. I know you're excited about it. The floor is yours, my friend. Go ahead.
Let me give everybody a second to get in their cars, get their app, their 102.5 The Game app pulled up, get Twitter open, whatever you have to do, because this, my friends, is appointment listening. Good old-fashioned appointment listening. Let's go ahead and start off. Okay, so I think it's important that we address first who we think will play in the conference championship games, because that's going to determine a lot. So in the SEC, I have Alabama over Texas A&M. Pretty straightforward. In the Big Ten, Ohio State and Indiana, they've been on a collision course basically ever since the Oregon game for Indiana. Big 12, this is ironic because they play this weekend, but I have Texas Tech over BYU. I don't see Texas Tech losing another football game this year. And then the ACC, here's where things get really interesting. Now, in the preseason, I predicted Georgia Tech to be in my ACC championship game. I did a midseason playoff prediction, and I had Georgia Tech in there as well. I can't move off of that. I got to stick to my guns, but I don't have Georgia Tech winning. I have Louisville winning. I think Louisville's a really good football team. So if Louisville wins, they get a spot in the playoff. So I have Louisville over Georgia Tech in my ACC championship game. Here's how I see it playing out. 1-4 would be the winner of the SEC, winner of the Big Ten, the loser of the Big Ten and SEC championship games. I'd have that 1-4. So Ohio State would be 1, Alabama would be 2, Indiana 3, Texas A&M 4. And if you're a first 1-4 team, you get the bye week. So those four teams would get the bye week. Here's where things get really, really interesting, and I need everyone to pay close attention if you're not already. I have Ole Miss at the 5 spot because I don't see them losing another football game. I have Texas Tech, the winner of the Big 12. I think they would hop up to 6, and if you're going based off of resume, you have a one-loss Ole Miss versus a one-loss Texas Tech. Who do you think the committee would give the edge to?
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. Yep. So I have Ole Miss at 5. I have Texas Tech at 6. I have Louisville, the winner of the ACC, at 7. Georgia is going to be at 8. I see another loss on their schedule because they play Texas, and if Texas looks anything like they did last week, I think they could give Georgia a lot of problems. Plus, Georgia has shown that they are very much a second-half team, but in order to beat Georgia, you got to cut the head off the snake, because if you play around with your food, eventually it's going to bite you. But I see another loss coming for Georgia at some point, whether that be Texas in a couple of weeks or they play Georgia Tech at the end of the year. So I see another loss for Georgia. Plus, with them not being in the conference championship game, I see them dropping a couple spots, and thus that would open up a spot for the ACC champ or the Big 12 champ. Also, are we just going to gloss over the fact that Georgia's at Mississippi State this week before Texas? Now, I'm not saying Mississippi State's going to win the football game, but
right,
that may put a dent in the, you know.
It'd be a tough game for sure. I mean, as a State fan, I'm not too optimistic about that game. I mean, it could bode well for Mississippi State in some aspects because it may play out like, you know, Florida versus Georgia this past Saturday. But, again, I don't see them pulling out the win.
Okay. So we have, just to recap so far, top 8, Ohio State, Alabama, Indiana, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Texas Tech, Louisville, Georgia. Number 9, Notre Dame. Notre Dame's not going to lose another football game this year, I don't think. But they don't play in a conference championship game, so I'd say when it comes down to your teams that win conference championship games versus the teams that don't play, I see those teams getting an edge over Notre Dame, plus a one-loss Louisville, one-loss Texas Tech, I see being ranked over Notre Dame. Texas Tech is already ranked ahead of Notre Dame as it is right now. Georgia, I think, would get the benefit of the doubt based on strength of schedule, which is an important metric that the College Football Playoff Committee will use. At number 10, the Oregon Ducks. Now, what's not being talked about with Oregon, everyone believes that Oregon is a good football team. It's okay. I do too. They have to round out their season at Iowa this Saturday, back at home versus Minnesota, then they take on number 20 USC at home, and then they're at number 24 Washington. I think there's a loss in there for the Ducks. So I have Oregon at number 10. My group of five spot will be the Memphis Tigers. I think they're the best group of five team as it stands right now. Regardless, I think that team is coming out of the American Athletic, whether that be USF, whether that be Tulane or North Texas. James Madison from the Sun Belt is also in there as well. Here's where things get interesting. That last at-large spot, we have Oklahoma. We have Virginia, Vanderbilt. If Vanderbilt wins out, could be in there. What happens if Georgia Tech? You know, so we have all these different teams. If Georgia Tech is playing in their ACC championship game and they lose and they have two losses, let's say, the committee put SMU in the playoff last year. So, but that was one-year sample size, so we don't know. Here's what I'm going to go with. And this is going to be a little bit controversial, but it's okay. I'm prepared. I have Oklahoma, a three-loss Oklahoma. In that 11 spot, I think this is the first year we see a three-loss team get in there. Plus, I've had Oklahoma in my playoff predictions since the preseason, so I have to stick with it. I think based off of resume, and November gets crazy, so I think this is the year we see a three-loss at-large team.
Wow. I was not expecting Oklahoma out of those three-loss teams, but I guess what you mentioned strength of schedule. Does the Tennessee game factor into that, obviously?
Sure. And then let's see who they – so they have to play at Alabama in 2 weeks, which I think will be a loss. But then they have Missouri, and then they have LSU. And if they win those two games, I see, again, based on that strength of schedule, if Virginia loses another game, if Georgia Tech loses another game, I'd see Oklahoma hopping those teams. Texas could also, you know, factor into this, but they'd have to win out. And I just don't see that happening. So, yeah, I have the first three-loss at-large team. Things could get crazy.
That's wild. That is absolutely
wild. Let me know
wild.
What you think in the YouTube chat, by the way. I'd love to know.
I'm intrigued to see what your first four out are. What are those four teams?
So it's hard for me to say. Here's what I believe. If Vanderbilt wins out, I think Vanderbilt gets that at last at large spot. But I don't see them winning in Neyland. I just don't see it happening. And I don't think Tennessee's going to let that happen.
Is that bias aside?
Bias aside.
Okay.
Bias aside. I think that's going to be the case. Now, my left out would be four. We're going four, the first four out. I'm going to go Virginia, and this is in no particular order because, to be honest, I haven't prepared that. Virginia, Texas, Georgia Tech, and I'll throw Miami in there.
Interesting. Okay. So you have Virginia, Miami, and the other two again?
I'll have Texas and Georgia Tech.
Texas.
So three ACC teams that are on the outside looking in.
And so I guess Vandy is that fifth team for you?
Yes, okay. if they're a three loss. Well, it might be Utah because Utah's playing some really good football right now, and
right.
I think Utah will win out.
Wow. Okay. So that's – wow. I'm intrigued.
But that part really doesn't matter. It's just the top 12.
So, yeah. I'm surprised you don't have Virginia as one of your top 12 teams
right
now.
See, I debated. I debated having them in the ACC championship game because if you look at who they have left on their schedule, I just lost it. But I don't really see a – I mean, I could see a loss at Duke. I think the problems that Duke gave Clemson, Duke has a pretty good offense with Darian Mensah. So they have Wake Forest, Duke, and Virginia Tech. Virginia, the thing about Virginia is they're a good football team, but their last four games have come down to one possession. Well, Cal, they won by 10, but that was a lot closer than the score would indicate. So Virginia's kind of been taking it down the wire, and I think there's another loss in there. And plus, it'd be hard for a Virginia if they were to lose the ACC championship game. I don't think they'll have strength of record, strength of schedule, all of that.
I think
Oklahoma would get the edge.
Wow. I mean, yeah, I guess that's what it should come down to is the strength of schedule and how close the wins and loss margins are because, I mean, that one loss against NC State, like, don't get me wrong, NC State's a good ball club because they ended up beating Georgia Tech this past weekend, right?
They've been spoiling people's seasons.
They seem to be like that ACC team that spoils a lot of seasons for a lot of different teams. But I don't know. Obviously, they don't have that many top 25 wins. They have one, and it's over Florida State. And that was that overtime game, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, again, you look at the rest of their schedule. Yeah, you're right. That one-point win over North Carolina, it looks pretty bad when it comes to box score stuff. Washington State, not a bad little team there. Louisville, who is now a ranked team. See, that's the issue I have with the committee right now is when you look at games that say Louisville that's now ranked in the top 15, that and say you get a win over a top 15 team, that's great. But say if you played them earlier on in the season where they weren't ranked, it's almost like it's a double-edged sword. The committee looks at it a different way.
Right. That's my issue with ranked wins, because last year Georgia Tech beat a top 10 Florida State, but then Florida State fell off a cliff and lost, you know, 10 out of their last 11. But it was a ranked win because at the time when they played them, it was ranked. So that's my whole thing with this. And when Virginia played Louisville, Louisville wasn't ranked. But if Louisville wins the ACC and gets an at-large or an automatic bid, like that looks a lot better. So, and that's the thing too, this big debate with Oregon. Right now their best win is their best win would probably be Northwestern. But they beat Penn State, and at the time, Penn State was ranked third. So it's kind of retroactively removing value from those games. That's the whole issue I have with this.
Yeah, I agree. We'll get into more of the college football top 12 selection. We'll share mine on the other side right here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Back here on Next Man Up, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, Brandon Bigsby, 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Before the break, we were talking about your top 12 and your first four out of your college football playoff, Parker. Now we'll get into Dr. Crane's predictions.
Oh, let's do it.
Oh, boy.
On Tony Tuesday, nonetheless.
On a Tony Tuesday. I'm going to start with my first – I'll save the best for last, I guess. At number one, I have Ohio State, and this is for tonight. This is not for the end of the season, into the playoffs.
Oh, this is for tonight.
This is for tonight. Gotcha. What I'm thinking is
going
to happen.
See, I was going like at the end of the line.
You were going way down the line for sure. But it's fine. Either or. I like your prediction because it opened up the window of Oklahoma being the first three-loss team, and we'll get into more of that later on in the show. But for me, at number one, I have Ohio State. They, again, have been a quiet, just – masterclass of a team this season. They've ruled the Big Ten majority of the time, minus, you know, Indiana when it comes to stuff like that. Number two, I have Texas A&M.
Ooh.
An undefeated team, I think, that has really proved their point in the SEC. And obviously you have Indiana, who's had a big win over Oregon earlier on in the season. But, again, I'm going to give the edge to A&M because of the strength of schedule. I mean, I get it. You beat Oregon in the Big Ten. We'll get to that here in a second. At number three,
That's fair.
At Indiana, number three. You could go either way with the two and the three, but for right now, I'm putting Indiana at three to just get the slight, you know, discredit right now. At number four, I have Alabama. After that FSU loss the first game of the season, they've really bounced back, and we've seen Ty Simpson turn into a perennial passing quarterback. And this team is starting to click and find its identity, which is good, but they're just slightly better than Georgia. And right now, Georgia, I think, is on the fence when it comes to possibly they're Texas 2.0 with a better roster, if that makes sense. Texas has found its way into multiple overtime games against those middle tier SEC teams. I think Georgia's the same thing. They're holding on to that winning window. They've been in the fringe of those late game drama type things. We saw that against Florida where they opened up with that big late fourth quarter run to really get them the win against Florida. So putting Georgia at five. At number six, and this has kind of been like the SEC rankings so far, but I'm going to go Ole Miss. Ole Miss at six. Lane Kiffin, the reason why I have them that high is I feel like the committee's going to put a lot of these SEC teams up high in the rankings, and then once, say, Ole Miss loses another game, they're going to be right on the fringe of that 12 spot.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if you're comparing Ole Miss and Oregon, I think Ole Miss has the better resume.
Correct.
So should be... Yeah, I get your drift.
Thank
I get
you.
Your drift.
And that leads me to my next top 10 or whatever that is. It's number seven at Oregon. Oregon obviously had the loss to Indiana earlier on in the season. Dan Lanning has really turned this team around with Dante Moore at quarterback. So, again, this team is not quite as good as Oregon. I mean, Ole Miss right now because of resume, that strength of schedule. But overall, I think they can improve as the season. And in all honesty, that number seven spot right now is good for Oregon because they won't have to go to the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, right. No, it's a collision course between Ohio State and Indiana. So yeah.
Right. And let's say Indiana does lose that game by two or three scores. And again, it comes down to the committee. We have talked about this at nauseam. Conference championship games are not going to hurt you, but I still think it does. It's a placebo effect. It really does hurt you. And the fact of the matter that Oregon doesn't have to play in that, it only bodes well for them because it increases their ranking in some aspects to maybe a top five team instead of a top seven team.
Yeah, and they'd be rested going into the playoffs as well.
Exactly. It's looked at as a bye week for some aspects of that. At number eight, talked about earlier about Heather Dinich's top 12 with two Big 12 teams in there. I'm kind of following suit a little bit. At number eight, I have Texas Tech.
The Red Raiders, okay.
They obviously had that rough loss to Arizona State at home that nobody thought would ever happen. We all thought we wrote Arizona State off into the sunset because they weren't that perennial team anymore like they were last year for the playoff. But Texas Tech seems to be bouncing back right now. If they can take care of business versus BYU this Saturday, I don't see why not, why they can stay in the top 10. And at number nine, and again, this is for right now, I have a feeling the committee, they've kind of hinted at it. As long as Notre Dame wins out, they will make the college football playoff. Do I think they're a top 10 team right now? No. Do I think the committee puts them into the top 10 tonight? Absolutely.
Unfortunately so.
Yes, I'm putting them at number nine. This is a Notre Dame team that, sure, they've had rough losses. They had that crazy loss against A&M for sure, and then the whole Miami game as well. So minus those two games. And originally, I thought for Miami's sake, when it came to the playoff, they needed Notre Dame to win out just to help their resume out a little bit. After that SMU loss, I don't know if I can say Miami's a legit playoff contender anymore.
They've looked just so bad their last couple games because they haven't been able to finish anything. So, and Miami, here's the scary part about it. They don't control their own destiny. Like, they have so many people that are ahead of them in the ACC standings. And who's to say they won't lose another game? Because if they were hypothetically to make the ACC championship game, their last two games of the regular season are on the road in cold weather environments. That would be a third game. In Charlotte in December, cold weather, I see another loss for Miami.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. As for number 10, I have another Big 12 team. And funny enough, everybody knows what team this is. BYU. Going with BYU because they're undefeated. They deserve to be in the top 10. This is a team that if they beat Texas Tech, everybody's 8-1 at that point.
Yeah.
9-1, that is. That's a team that has proved time and time again, we're still a good ball club. If you forget about us because we play at 9:30 at night sometimes, we're still a good ball club. So, again, that's number 10. Number 11, I was surprised you didn't have them in here, but I added them in, Virginia, at
okay.
number 11. I think that's a spot where they're better right now than Georgia Tech after that loss that they received this past Saturday. And going into my group of five spot, and we agree on this, Memphis. I believe Memphis is the best team out there. Obviously, earlier in the season, South Florida had the upper edge with Alex Golish as the coach, and they were really tearing down some top 25 wins here and there. And again, it goes back to that same conversation of top 25 wins and losses. Are we really going to dictate it off that, or are we going to dictate it off teams that are in the top 25 that weren't ranked earlier in the year? So again, that's just where I stand right now on the top 12. As for my first four out, this is where things get a little dicey. And you could say it's, you know, geolocation bias when it comes to stuff like this. But at number 13, I have Texas. Texas is my 13th team, just essentially because they beat Vanderbilt. And, again, that's a team that's on the fringe. Like I said, they're the modern day, I would say modern day, but Georgia is the 2.0 of Texas. Texas always finds themselves in those overtime games, real tight. They were down to the wire with Kentucky not too long ago. And then obviously down to the wire against Mississippi State. And then there's
Vandy. Found a way to win.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Found a way to win.
Then Vandy comes back and almost recovers the onside kick, which could have really turned the game on its head, really. But overall, that's where I have Texas right now at 13. At 14, I'm a little surprised I chose this team, but going with Oklahoma, the Sooners. Now, right now, being a two-loss team, getting the big win over Tennessee, that's just that proves a lot, especially with John Mateer and that Brent Venables defense. And we've all seen Brent Venables' defense really kind of evolve throughout the season. They've started to collectively work as a full unit, and that's honestly what brings the eyeballs to the screen, watching them in the SEC. At number 15, this is where local fans will kind of raise their eyebrows and open their ears a little bit. The Vanderbilt Commodores, I have them at 15.
There we go.
Yep,
that's appropriate in my mind. That's appropriate.
Thank you. Yeah, I think they are one of those teams that is the first four out, especially that three spot as the 15th team in the nation. Obviously, that's where they were. What now currently in the AP poll. So I think it's a respectable number. And plus, if they end up winning out, I think they deserve that 12 spot, in my opinion. So
100%, I agree. Yeah. If they get left out, that would be a crime. That would be a crime.
Now, another team that I'd like to get your opinion on, they're the last four of the first four out, Georgia Tech. One loss on the schedule. I mean, obviously they have to kind of win out for some regard, but if they end up losing to Georgia or they beat Georgia, I think that really is what puts a wrench in things. If they beat Georgia in the last week of the season, one, that has them going to the ACC championship game, potentially. Two, where does that put Georgia? Does that still keep them in the top 12 as a potential three-loss team?
Dude, the ACC could throw so many wrenches into all of this, because if Georgia Tech wins out and they lose the ACC championship game to, let's say, a Louisville or Virginia, a team like that, then I think they still get in the playoff. But they have to play Pitt, who is third in the ACC right now, who's a pretty good team. They're 7-2. And then they have to play Georgia. It's a neutral site game. It's in Atlanta, which I think would actually favor Georgia because it's Mercedes-Benz and they always find a way to show up. And I don't think Georgia Tech has as big of a fan base as Georgia. So the ACC could really throw a wrench in all of this, especially if Virginia wins out too.
Yeah. You mentioned in your top 12, including your first four out, about Utah and Miami. Obviously, I didn't include Utah, and I explained why Miami, for me, wouldn't be in the top 12, especially one of the first four out. Give me a case as to why you think Utah would fit into my bracket. Or just top 12 in general. Like, why should they deserve a first four out look and or a top 12 bid for me on my lineup?
If they were to get a top – I don't think they deserve one, but if they were, it would be because they went out and they win the Big 12.
That's
about it, but I don't – I mean, they have two losses in conference right now. Meanwhile, Cincinnati has, even though Utah just beat Cincinnati, Cincinnati's better standings-wise in the Big 12. So is Texas Tech and BYU. And if you look at the schedules they have upcoming, I don't see many losses in there. So Utah has to finish out with Baylor, Kansas State, and Kansas. Two of those are on the road. I think Utah's a really good team, so I could see them on the outside looking in, but they'd have to win the Big 12 in order to get in this thing.
Yeah, and I mentioned I had Vanderbilt as one of my first four out. They're at 15th on my top 12 there, top 16, I guess you could say. We're going to get into a little bit of how Vandy could potentially make that last 12 spot of the college football playoff. We'll get into that coming up right here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.
It's not White Girl Friday yet.
Is this your jam?
It is. It's a great song. I love this song. But it's not White Girl Friday.
Hey, it's Connor Newton spirit. How about that? There you go. Back here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, Brandon Bigsby behind the glass, spinning the tunes as well. We were talking before the break about just Vanderbilt Commodores and how can they make a true case for, you know, the college football playoff? I mean, it honestly comes down to the committee. Committee's the ones that's going to be putting them in, putting them out. I mean, to me, looking at the strength of schedule, we've talked about it already before, just they have a true case to say that this is really a top 10 team. I wouldn't even say top 12, a top 10 team that deserves a solidified spot in this playoff.
Yeah, and if you went out Auburn, Kentucky, those wouldn't help you out a whole lot, but they would just count as extra wins, obviously. But if you win on the road in Knoxville at Tennessee, one of the tougher places to play, I think that helps you out a whole lot. And I can't see a world in which a 10-2 SEC team in general, because we know – I looked this up yesterday. All 16 teams have a top 30 strength of schedule. So if you leave a 10-2 SEC team out versus – I don't know, maybe an 11-2 BYU or an 11-2 Georgia Tech, I think it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and looking at Vanderbilt's schedule, they've had 5 top 25 games. And you could say some of those games were blowouts in some aspects. I mean, you look at the LSU game, that wasn't a blowout. That was a one-possession game. Alabama game they lost, that was two possessions, understandable. But that's it comes down to the committee saying that's a respectable two-possession loss for Vanderbilt. Then you go and look at the games they really handled against Charleston Southern, putting up 45 points, winning 45-3. That again, I think, is put into factor of those cupcake games, where those are the teams that you need to really take care of business with. And you go look at Georgia State, where they lost last year to Georgia State, took it to them this year and put up 70-21. So I think that's something to look at. Virginia Tech's another one, a hostile environment. You go on the road, take care of business, and win 44-20.
Same thing in South Carolina.
Yeah, same thing in South Carolina, 31-7. And that was a ranked win, a top 11 team. And again, to the point of, you're not just winning games, you're blowing teams out by multiple possessions, multiple score lines. And that then goes to show you keep on going at Utah State, 55-35. Like, if you're putting up 45 or more points as a top 25 team, especially a top 15 team, now looking back at that resume, it's solely deserved, because they've taken care of business in their top 10 games, losing to a top 10 team in Alabama, winning against a top 10 team in LSU. Obviously, we understand what LSU is now. They've fallen off. Their program is literally down to dust right now, with no AD, no president, no head coach. You don't know where to go with that program. So minus that, it's still collectively a top 10 win. And then Missouri, another one that was a top 15 win. And sure, they kind of lucked out with Bo Prabula not being able to play the rest of that game for injury.
But Matt Zollers looked good. So
exactly. So it's kind of hard to – it's a double-edged sword trying to dictate how do you weigh that win. But, again, they lose to Texas by 3 points. The game was out of reach at halftime. It didn't look like Vandy was at all in contention to come back in that game. And they ended up finding a way to come back and losing by 3 points, which, again, I think you got to put into consideration if you're the committee – that's a top 20 loss that they've kept to one score. You can't discount them. Obviously, there are teams like in Oklahoma that's, you know, two losses on their schedule that you may have to give a look at again and say, wait a minute, Oklahoma with two losses, how bad did they lose those two losses to? And then you go look at it and you think, well, yeah, could have been worse. They lost to Texas, I mean, what, 23-6? So you try to compare that to Vanderbilt and say, well, Vanderbilt only lost by 3 points. And then that's where it becomes a pick'em in some aspects. That other game, they lost to Ole Miss. That was a number 8 team at the time. So, again, you try to equate that. And at the time when Texas wasn't a top 20 team, when they played Oklahoma, then Texas goes to play Vanderbilt. They're a top 20 team there. There's a little bit more meat to the bone when you talk about Vanderbilt in comparison to a team like Oklahoma.
And I think the AP is kind of revealing their hand here, because they have Vanderbilt ranked 15, and you just have to be in the top, well, really the top 11, because the group of five gets an at-large or an automatic bid or whatever. But if Vanderbilt wins out and you have teams that are ahead of you, like a Texas still has to play Georgia, Texas on the road nonetheless, and then they have to play Texas A&M. So if they win one of those games, they still lose another one, be 9-3. If Vanderbilt wins out, they hop him despite the head-to-head matchup. So, and as I continue to look over the rankings here, you have an Oklahoma. If Oklahoma has three losses and a two-loss Vanderbilt, I think they would get they would hop Oklahoma. If Virginia loses another game, if they lose the ACC championship game, or if they lose one before that, let's say to a Duke, Vanderbilt would hop them as well. So there's still so much chaos that can play out. BYU could lose two games. They could lose to Texas Tech this weekend. They still have to play Cincinnati. If they lose both of those, Vanderbilt would hop them. So there are plenty of worlds in which Vanderbilt still makes the playoff. And if you go to the All-State playoff predictor and you have Vanderbilt winning out, they have a 95% chance to make it.
Which is practically saying winning, you're in, essentially. That's essentially it.
They control their destiny.
Exactly, unlike some other teams in college football. So back here, right here on Next Man Up, you get your phones, text, all the above, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, right here on Next Man Up. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, Brandon Bigsby. We were talking a little bit before the break about college football scenarios and the top 12 rankings, reacting to my top 12, and also Vanderbilt. Is there a pathway for them to make the college football playoff? A lot of fans out there saying the only way they get in is if they beat Tennessee at the end of the season. That is true. Like you said, they hold their own destiny. But what about those teams that are already at the two-loss stature, and they're trying to figure out, well, if they lose a third game somewhere down the road, how can they get in? Like a team like a Texas or a team like Georgia But before we get to that, you mentioned there are some times that have been released for college football.
Yeah, so they announced the game times. Let me pull those up. That's on me for not having it ready. But Ross Dellinger put it out for Yahoo Sports and On3 that the game times have been announced for the college football playoff. The first round, the opening games, Friday, December 19th, and then there will be one game that will be at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 Central. Three games on Saturday will be 11 Central, 2:30 Central, and 6:30 Central. So the typical slate. Right. Playoff quarterfinals will be the Cotton Bowl, Orange Bowl, Rose Bowl, and Sugar Bowl. The first game will be played on Wednesday night, December 31st, New Year's Eve, 6:30 p.m. Central. And then the same format follows for the Thursday on New Year's Day, 11 Central for the Orange Bowl, 3 p.m. Central for the Rose Bowl, and 7 p.m. Central for the Sugar Bowl. And then your semifinals will be the Fiesta Bowl and Peach Bowl, one on Thursday at 6:30 Central, which will be the Fiesta Bowl, one on Friday, 6:30 Central for the Peach Bowl, the national championship Monday night, which I don't know why we're playing a sport that takes place on Saturdays while we're having our national championship on a Monday. It doesn't make much sense to me, but nonetheless, Monday night, January 19th, 6:30 Central.
I believe that Monday night game would probably be because there's not a NFL game there that night, because I believe that's when the Monday night football slate ends.
Because of the playoff.
Right. Yeah. So that, you know, football's got to be on every night. I feel like NFL owns Sundays. They're trying to own Mondays, Thursdays. Like, they're trying to take over Fridays, but again.
That's my thing. Like, if I was ever fortunate enough to be elected college football commissioner, I would work hand in hand with the NFL, because I feel like the NFL doesn't do as much for college football as college football does for the NFL, because they develop the players, they send them to the pro leagues. The least the NFL could do is move their Saturday playoff game, move it to Monday, and then let the national championship be played on Saturday. We all work hand in hand here. We all support each other.
Right.
But that's not the case.
No, it's not. It's a frustrating swing, I guess, in the roundabout way. It's a frustrating thing to deal with, for sure, if you're a college football playoff, you know, commissioner, unlike, you know, you, who's trying to be one.
We'll see. I'm not opposed. I'm just throwing my hat in the ring, and we'll see what happens.
There have been offers out there, you know. There's a figure that has to be settled.
You're right. That's obviously the most important thing. I can be bought. No, I'm just kidding. I can't. we'll see.
Getting to the three-loss scenario, you had Oklahoma in your top 12. As a three-loss team, what other teams do you see that could drop to that three-loss potential and still make the playoff?
Not very many. Not very many teams. I'd say maybe the other team that has a chance, maybe, and this is a big stretch, would be Texas, because of the who they have left to play. If they lose to Georgia but beat Texas A&M at the end of the year, you know, you're losing on the road at Athens, and you beat a top two Texas A&M team. I think that is a scenario, very unlikely, but I still think it is one. I don't think, outside of those two teams, I really don't think there are many.
Really? Like, so say if somehow Georgia slips up and ends up losing three games, like, say Texas, they lose to Texas, right? That drops them to two losses. And say somehow on God's green earth, Georgia Tech pulls off the upset at the end of the year. A three-loss Georgia team doesn't get in?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so.
Even beating a number 5 Ole Miss earlier in the year and a number 15 ranked Tennessee Volunteer team?
It's hard for me to even say Texas is going to get in. I mean, it really just depends. I think the way the committee would look at it is Oklahoma and Texas got hot towards the end of the year. Meanwhile, Georgia fell off. So that's kind of how I think this would play out. I think if Georgia loses two out of their last four, there's no way.
Now, what about Notre Dame? Obviously, the committee and people on ESPN, especially College Game Day, Kirk Herbstreit's even mentioned it. They win all the rest of their games, they're definitely in the playoff. But is there a scenario somewhere where they can be a three-loss team and still get in?
Who is this again?
Notre Dame. A team that's not in the conference? No?
No, I don't think so. I think that kind of hurts them a little bit, too, that they don't play on championship weekend. I think that would – so if a Notre Dame team – had three losses, didn't play in their conference championship, didn't even play in one in general. There's no way.
Interesting. I would somehow incorporate Notre Dame as a three-loss team into this top 12, primarily because, one, they're not in a conference. Two, I'm going off what the committee says and how conference championship games do not hurt you in any aspect. So if they're a team that's not in a conference and not in a championship game, That shouldn't hurt them. But if they have three losses, and again, let's say that third loss is to a team like Pitt, who's been pretty good overall in the ACC. I mean, they're another team that's been playing spoiler in a lot of cases. A team that's 7-2 right now. Again, that's something to look at, because if they lose by one possession, I would consider Notre Dame as a top 12 team in this playoff.
Yeah, I think. I mean, this is all a moot point, because I think they're going to win out, because Navy, who just got beat by North Texas.
Correct.
They have to play at Pitt. Now, that's probably going to be their toughest game, but then they round it out with Syracuse and at Stanford.
Yeah.
I don't see any losses in there.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just putting that scenario out there because it's possible. It's college football. Anything can happen. Another three-loss team that we kind of talked about a little bit. Again, I don't think it'll happen, but a team like Miami. I think they're out of the conversation, right?
For the most part, because even if they went out, I still think it's a stretch, because they may not even play in the ACC championship. And right. I see with what they've done, how they've looked as of recent, if they don't make their ACC championship game and they lose, they've already have two losses to SMU and to Louisville. I don't think it's going to happen.
Quick question for you guys, because I do think, just kind of going back to Texas, I do think there is one kind of factor to this that maybe we haven't talked about. If Texas is to win out, they're a two-loss team. I know that with the losses they've had, it could be an outside chance, but how much do you think that Arch Manning does factor into this with this committee? Because you cannot tell me that they do not want to see Arch Manning in that top 12 and that they could potentially leapfrog a team like Vanderbilt, even if they do go 10-2.
Yeah, you make a good point, and that does bring back the TV eyeballs of what people want to watch, what they want to see. And it's going to sound kind of crazy. I think Diego Pavia brings in more viewership than a guy like Arch Manning.
Well, to be honest, I do think people want to watch both Diego Pavia and Arch Manning. I'm not saying that. They definitely do. I don't think Arch Manning factors into this if Texas wins out, because right. they would have beat Georgia on the road and they would have beat Texas A&M. And if they're already 13, again, the committee's revealing their hand. If they went out, they're getting in.
Right. But yeah, to answer to Brandon's point though, like if I had to choose, definitely Vanderbilt over a team like Texas, primarily because everybody, it's appointment television when watching Diego Pavia. You can't say the same thing about Arch Manning.
It brings eyeballs. Yeah. It brings eyeballs.
The only way you could say it's appointment television watching Arch Manning is to see if he actually has a really good game or not. Like, there's a different factor with Pavia. Like, with Pavia, this team, can they make another upset win? Or can they do XYZ? Like, with Texas, it's like, oh, there's Texas. Are they going to win this game? And, you know, there's just a different aura about it. So, that's where I stand on that one. Appreciate that. That was good
thought. Yeah. And the root of this is money, so.
Yep. Indeed. A lot of TV money involved as well. I'm looking through the rest of the top 25 teams that kind of catch my eye a little bit. What about USC? I mentioned it yesterday. Another team that's fourth in the Big Ten right now. Could they somehow squeak away and find themselves in contention? Because, look, if Oregon ends up losing to USC later on in the season, because they're a one-loss team, can a two-loss Oregon team get in along with maybe – a two-loss USC team? Like, this is where I'm kind of going off the three-loss thing. If both teams are two losses in the Big Ten, do both get in, or do one gets in and one doesn't?
Yeah, that's the thing, too. I mean, USC is tied for fourth in the Big Ten right now, and it's November. So if they beat Oregon in Autzen, that weight of the win would carry – I mean, that would carry a lot of weight. And if they beat Iowa, too, they still have to play at Iowa. Iowa's actually a little bit ahead of them in terms of standing. So that could only help USC. If USC wins out, I still think they do have to have a little bit of help, but it wouldn't be – they wouldn't need much of it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I feel like if they end up – if Oregon ends up beating Iowa, that helps out the case for USC. If USC ends up beating Oregon – then that also helps the case there, because then that would equal out to USC and Oregon tied as in the conference when it comes to conference wins and also losses. So it's something to look into there. I don't know. I'm not trying to say USC is going to make it into the top 12, but that's a team where, to me, I'm intrigued with.
Again, we're just so fortunate that God allows us to play these games, and we just get to sit back and just watch chaos unfold, because November always brings chaos. It's like March Madness. There's always going to be madness in March. There's always going to be madness in college football in the month of November.
Indeed. And kind of hopping over to professional football in the NFL, Albert Breer put out the, stipulations when it comes to Draymond Jones's trade So if Jones gets two more sacks and the Ravens make the playoffs, it becomes a fourth-round pick from what I was told from reading from Albert Breer's Twitter for the Titans' sake of that pick.
Yeah, and it's kind of a bummer now that we know that the Steelers beat the Colts on Sunday because they're still ahead of the – they're two games ahead of the Ravens, whereas if they would have lost, the Ravens won on Sunday, they would have been one game back. Still a good chance. I mean, the AFC North this year is not great, but Draymond Jones could definitely get two sacks. The way he's been playing recently and all the pass rushers that the Ravens have, that's going to open up some help for him to get that, and the Ravens still have good odds to make it.
Yeah, I mean, look, looking at that division, it definitely – we can probably get into in the next hour, but looking at that division specifically, sure, they got off to a rough start at 1-5, but – again, you have Lamar Jackson back. Derrick Henry seems to be holding on to the football now. Zay Flowers is really clicking on all cylinders when it comes to the passing game. And you add a guy like Draymond Jones. Again, if this team is playing well offensively, more than likely defensively, things are going to open up for a guy like that. And he has, what, 4.5 sacks on the season so far?
Yeah, and they still – the problem with the Ravens, they still haven't gotten healthy all the way. Right. So when they do – they're going to be a real problem because they haven't been healthy, hence why they've lost all these games. And when you don't have your two-time MVP at quarterback, Lamar Jackson, the numbers are staggering how different they are with Lamar versus without. So when they get fully healthy, they're going to be a problem.
Yeah, we'll get into more about the NFL on the other side right here on 102.5 The Game, right here on Next Man Up.